Get ready for conflicts where movie reviews collide.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Conflicts, the podcast. Today is a very, very special day. The three of us, myself, Laura, slash Lulu, your moderator, Nick, say hey, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
And Rich, say hey, Rich.
Hey, Rich.
Hashtag dad jokes.
I had to steal that.
Yes, just left the theater. We all three went together with respective families and saw Avengers Endgame.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thank you. I was hoping somebody did that, and it didn't have to be me. I'm still emotionally exhausted, guys.
I kind of feel
guys.
Like we should have went, dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
Later on, we'll get sound effects when we have a bigger budget.
Actually, I think Marvel is already writing up the lawsuit just for that rendition. They got Disney money now. They're like,
oh, God.
Disney money, that's the dream. Anyhow, I'm still a little emotionally exhausted. It was a roller coaster ride, a long roller coaster ride, but it was fantastic. Now, usually I try to like do a little bit of research to bring you guys some info about the movie. When I went to do that last night, because the movie has been out for 2 days now, I wanted to be sure I didn't leave anybody out of the cast, and in merely Googling the cast accidentally got a spoiler for myself. So I don't have any fun facts about this movie other than the fact that it's the 22nd in the MCU, which everybody knew, and who's in it. But I think there's enough out there about this movie that everybody's cool, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're listening to a movie podcast and you're not aware of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and kind of have an idea what's going on there...
Yeah, I'm kind of worried for you.
Yeah,
if that's you right
at
now.
At that point in time... Yeah, something's wrong here, so I think we're good.
Well, you know, I will say this. I just called my brother to tell him how awesome this was, and I just was like, you have to see this freaking movie. I'm not saying anything else. And he goes, does my wife need to watch the second Ant-Man? And I was like, yeah.
Well, technically, no.
Well, yes, plus the end credits.
Yeah, but you can watch that on YouTube.
There was a mutual friend in the theater with us, and I don't know if you guys know this about this person, but she had seen none of the Marvel movies until a few weeks ago.
Are they okay?
Zero.
I mean, that's a lot to binge in 2 weeks. Well,
she didn't get all of them in the last 2 weeks, but she asked for me to give her a priority list. So I did, and she got through, I want to say it was 8 or 9 of the ones that I thought were most relevant to understand. What was going on?
8 or 9
here?
Movies over the course of 2 weeks is not that much.
That's a Marvel movie? Those are like 2 hours and some change a pop. That's a lot.
Spread out over 2 weeks.
She put in the work. You know, I'm not saying it's.
I mean, it's about dedication.
She put in the work, and I'm very proud of her. And actually, I can't wait to talk to her to get her opinions on all of those movies as well as this one.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, this one stars.
Everybody.
I mean, it stars everybody, but, you know, if you want to go for, you got Chris Evans, Brie Larson, Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, Mark Ruffalo, Chris Hemsworth, and so on, 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 and so on.
Pretty much if you are an A-list celebrity, you were in this movie.
I mean, if you're not in this movie, kind of what's wrong with you?
They worked so hard to dig up everybody who's ever been in a Marvel movie. Did you notice in one of the final scenes that kid they pan to is the kid from Iron Man 3?
Is that who that was?
Yes, it is. It's the kid he befriends in Iron Man 3. That's who that is.
Yes!
They dug up everybody.
Yeah. They did. Kudos to you, MCU. This is directed by Joe and Anthony Russo. I'm assuming they're brothers. Maybe they're partners. I don't know. Written by Stephen McFeely, which... Moment for appreciation for McFeely. The last name gives you all the McFeelys.
No, he did.
Yeah.
And Christopher Marcus, which, I mean, let's not take a moment for Marcus.
And no less than 2 of the previous directors had cameos in the movie.
You know, this movie was at such a large scale. It's going to be, let me say this like this. It became such a big deal so fast. Like, Star Wars came out in the 70s, and it's had this long to get this big.
Yeah, it's had a buildup.
This came out in, like, the 2000s.
I was like, oh, wait. 97?
Yeah, like probably 08, maybe something like that.
You have to argue when Iron Man came out. Yeah, the Iron Man is really where the current Marvel Cinematic Universe began.
Yeah.
While, although there were movies beforehand that are considered part of it, the Hulk movies and so on and so forth. But they were really just finding their way. The Iron Man one is where like
I think everybody agrees that that's the star on the Christmas tree.
For something to happen this fast. And actually, this is the first thing that I've witnessed grow that fast, besides Harry Potter, which was a book. But, I mean, granted, these are comic books, and they've been around for a long time, these stories. This is a big deal. It's going to be a long time before Hollywood nails something this big again.
It happened fast enough that nobody aged out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they are all still able to pull off the age they started with because they're really not that far different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And plus, when they're that rich, they can get all the Botox they want.
Well, you know, it doesn't hurt. But
Dang.
Well, I think the fact that they pulled it off at all. To cap off that many movies, and obviously there are going to be more, but the next is going to kind of start a new cycle, a new phase.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they even managed to do it is just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually wondering if the next phase is going to be as big.
I'm kind of wondering that myself. I feel like they might scale it back and they might make the next phase a little more simple and a little more character driven, but I have no facts to back that up.
And the thing is, now they have the rights to Fox, which owns X-Men, so they're going to have a to relaunch the whole thing.
Skynet is real.
I think there's a lot that they can do here, but they're going to have to do something different, and I think they know that. Because I mean, we're already getting to the point where fatigue is right around the corner, so they're going to have to mix it up somehow.
Yeah.
Before we get too far into what's going to happen in the future, let's talk about the present. let's talk about the gift that was the last 3 hours. Let's just dive in. Tell me what you guys think. Give it a grade. Just dive in there.
Rich, do you want to go first?
Sure. You know, I thought about this on the ride over to where we record, and it made me mad as I thought about it. And here's why. Because I know there is no way in the world that this movie is going to win any awards. They love to snub superhero movies, these kind of action films.
Shout out to Black Panther.
And that is utter bullshit. That movie had some of the best acting I've ever seen in it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, and some of them were little throwaway scenes. Some of them were, you know, little bits and pieces here and there. But there were so many people that knocked out so many little scenes. They had just such little to work with, and they pulled it together. That movie deserves something. This was a phenomenon of movie making.
Yeah.
The fact that they got here, and nobody dropped the ball. All that cast, you know, we could spend an hour almost naming everybody. None of them, no matter how small their part were, you know, was. You know, Michael Douglas, we get a de-aged Michael Douglas for, what, a 15, 20-second scene?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Killed it. Killed it. You know, just amazing. The number of times that I either full-blown teared up or, you know, got really near it in this movie was incredible. And most of that is the strength of the acting in the previous movies leading up to this, and then this movie, the reactions that happened. You know, Gwyneth Paltrow, crazy as she may be in real life, her final scene with Robert Downey Jr., I mean, holy crap, that was amazing. That was just amazing.
But if you catch our episode that we did on Captain Marvel, you can hear my whole theory about why the MCU is successful, and it kind of lends into what you're talking about, and they figured out the formula is to just cast outstanding actors and everything else will take care of itself. And they all did their job with that many names and that many egos. The fact that everybody delivered is mind-blowing. I
mean, heck, they got Robert Redford to come back and do another scene for this
thing. Like,
isn't he retired?
Yeah, I mean, the guy, but he was great.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole scene, they're like, would you like to see Robert Redford argue with them for 30 seconds? Yes, I would.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I am going to go all the way out there and say that this is not just an A+, but this is the A+. This is the standard.
This is the standard.
This is
okay.
The mark. As we continue on this podcast, I'm going to have to compare things to this movie, as in this is the scale. This is where things go to. This is the ceiling. Something's going to have to try really hard to break this.
Oh, we'll remember this, and we'll call back later, and we're going to ask, is it an endgame A?
No, this is it. This is the first A+, and I can think of nothing else in my history, honestly. There's been a few movies that I might also give A+s to, but this is it. This is how you rate it. It's that good. And I know people are going to say, oh, you're just gushing. You're just energized by having watched the movie.
Haters gonna hate.
And you're damn right I am, because it deserves it. It really does. Okay. It was amazing.
What about you, Nick?
Okay. I agree with everything that you just said.
I'm glad we got that recorded. I really am.
It'll never happen again, no, folks. This
is the part where you're going to be like, I can't believe you're saying this. I give it an A-. Still an A.
Ooh.
Okay.
But I'm giving it an A-, even though this is the second part of this story. I thought Infinity War was the A+, and I thought this was the A-.
Okay. Interesting.
Fair enough.
Very interesting.
Both movies have a phenomenal cast, acting out of this world. And I'm not discrediting anybody's acting, period. I thought it had been a more bold move to change and let everybody who died in Infinity War die. And then this was their struggle to try and bring them back. And they failed, but they killed Thanos.
Well, I mean, you know, they didn't vary too far from that.
That's true.
Well, and by the way, I know we didn't give our spoiler alert here, but we're going to spoil the hell out of this thing.
Really, guys, if you're listening to a podcast about this movie, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, yes, I mean, spoil it. By the time this comes out, it's going to be
everybody's going to know.
Yeah, so, the weekend's over.
So I think that what they did was not the expected thing. I think what they did was, you know, they did was unexpected, because they did that. I mean, they kill Thanos in the first couple of minutes of the movie.
Right.
Nobody expected that. No, you're like, well, shit, what do we do now?
Oh, I did, dude. I totally called it. My buddy was sitting at my house the other day and I was like, okay, here's how it's going to happen. I'm going to be wrong, but I'm going to be right. And I told him, I said, it happens like straight away. They go, they're going to try and fix it all. They're going to fail. And then it's going to pick up later when Scott comes back.
Right.
I called it. Well, sorry, I just had to jump for a second. Which,
you know, here's a little aside. I did think of something there towards the end of the movie. Because, you know, there is that 5-year time jump.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't get undone.
No.
The 5-year time jump happened, just the people were brought back.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who didn't die in Infinity War is now 5 years older than everybody who did.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that, you know, like 5 years isn't the end of the world, but at the, pun intended, not pun intended. but at the same time, you know, that is going to lead for some awkward situations. You know, I'm thinking they show the happy scene they're in with the high school. Well, you know, there's some of those people that are now 5 years older than their high school buddies because they lived and.
Right. Well,
yep.
Some of them graduated.
Well, maybe.
So they're going to school, high school.
Also
going to
make for retcon nightmares.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Nightmares.
But, you know.
Yeah, where was every Infinity Stone? At which point in time now?
Mm-hmm.
No, and I really liked even the opening scene. My God, Jeremy Renner freaking out there with his family, doing their little picnic, whatnot. Because, you know, he wasn't in Infinity War.
No, he wasn't.
And he was mentioned that he took house arrest
for
his family.
Mm-hmm.
And so it showed what happened in his point of view. And I'm just going to say this. My wife is the biggest baby on the face of this planet. I had to lean in.
Also have that on tape.
Yeah, that's fine. She can listen to this. I had to lean into her and I go, you need to pull yourself together. We have 3 hours to go. And she's like, shut up, leave me alone.
Well, you know, it really was. There was a tearjerker like in the first couple of minutes and they did not stop.
No, they didn't.
I mean, how many of those scenes were you just like, oh my gosh, that's so sad.
Yeah. No,
you in the McFeelys a lot.
I'm not going to lie. He's a good actor.
Yes,
like,
he
very
is.
Good.
From coming from National Lampoon Senior Trip to this, my God.
That's quite the leap.
Well, so many of them have. And, you know, we had so many people that were already great actors that it's just amazing how all of this came together. And so many people, because when you have a cast that big, nobody's going to have a lot of screen time. I mean, I think probably Captain America had the most. Maybe Robert Downey Jr. There's a couple people that had obviously a little bit more.
Yeah, but they've always been. I mean, it's always been about Cap and Iron Man.
Right.
So.
And so many people didn't have a lot of scenes and a lot of time to really get in there and act. But
they made their scenes count when they did.
Oh my gosh, did they ever?
Yeah.
I mean, Tilda Swinton.
Oh yeah.
Come on, that was awesome.
The just side note, the random spoiler that I found in just looking up the cast was it tells you on Google the cast, it tells you the actor's name and then the character's name. It said Mark Ruffalo and nothing underneath. And the second it said nothing underneath, I knew it was Professor Hulk. I'm like, what else is it going to be? Like, why it would either say Bruce Banner or Incredible Hulk or one / the other. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, and I knew a thing. That was me attempting not to swear, guys. Sorry.
You know, it was difficult to avoid the spoilers. I pretty much had to go on a media blackout.
Oh, yeah. Social media blackout last 2 days.
I mean, even like right now, if you Google Thanos, the Infinity Gauntlet will be there. And when you touch it, everything on the Google page fades away. Like, you can't get a spoiler to this.
Well, yeah. You know, it's funny how
you
much.
You can if you Google for spoilers.
Yeah.
Well, true.
You can if you look for them. But, you know, I mean, you're looking at this as such a cultural phenomenon that you have companies like Google who are changing the way the internet works to help people enjoy this movie experience.
Right.
That's something.
I mean, yeah, I know that, like, you can get on there and find if you really search. But just for that little nod to, hey,
yeah, I also
piss
had
off,
to,
like, you can't get this.
I also had to keep off YouTube, though, because so many, like, even like the little thumbnails, because they flip between scenes or between images now. And there were a couple of thumbnails about spoiler videos. And I'm like, oh, shoot. And like just had to stay off YouTube, too.
Yeah, it really is that day and age that we have to do those things. But we've seen it now. And you guys are going to get spoilers out the wazoo. So, I mean, what would we consider the big spoilers? I guess that's a good question. What are the major things? What's the Snape kills Dumbledore moment for Endgame? Sorry, I'm kind of asking the questions instead of the moderator here.
No,
it's
all good because you flip the tables on me. Nick, answer while I think.
Oh, well, I don't know. Like, what would be a spoiler? Well, we lost two major players to the MCU. But that's everybody knew their contracts were up.
Because Gamora has to come back because they're making another Guardians
movie. But Gamora
movie.
Did come back. It's just
she
not the
did.
Same Gamora.
But then she was gone. Like, when they snapped again, that Gamora was gone.
No, she was at she was at Tony's funeral.
No, she wasn't.
Yes, she was.
Yes, she was.
No, she wasn't. I swear to God, I was looking for her. She's not there. Somebody
sure
Google. Somebody fact check.
I don't know.
we'll have to check on that one, but I thought
Mantis is standing on one end, Nebula standing on the other end, everybody else is in the middle, and Gamora is not there. And then when they get back on the ship and they're bickering, Gamora is not there. And when it showed Star-Lord on the ship, he's looking at her information, and it says red searching for her. Because she's not there. Gamora's
gone
again.
Well, that could be set up for Volume 3.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to do. My assumption, now granted, it's just an assumption, is that Gamora is back, but it is the Gamora they brought forward. So they
right,
never had
I
that.
Think Gamora's going to be back too. My point being was that if they can bring Gamora back, can they bring Natasha back?
I think they're going to.
I don't think they bring that version of Gamora back. I think the one that they brought forward in time, that you know was the one that before all the Guardians happened, I think that's the Gamora of the future. I think they're going to have to...
See, I thought that at first, too, but then she was gone again. So I was like, I thought they were going to Star Trek it and do it that way, but then...
I wonder if she just didn't bail. Because if he's searching for her, if he thinks that she's, like, gone from the snap, why would he be searching for her on, you know, like, the internet?
their version of intergalactic
internet. He thinks she's out there. So, you know, he's probably just trying to find her that way.
Right. Well, and I think that they bring Natasha back, too, because she has...
I don't.
...a movie coming.
It's not confirmed. It's a prequel.
Oh, is it? Oh.
I think if she's in it, she's in it in like a cameo basis, you know, where she's not the main character. I think they're going to have somebody do young Natasha.
Right.
And, you know, maybe she's in some flash forward scenes and a few things like that.
I think
she's done. And also, I think Chris Evans is done. Cap is done.
Well, yeah, there was a couple people's contracts who were up and they were like...
We're
this
done.
Is it.
Like, now I guess he dies is the way to say it, but he got the happy ending.
Right.
Yeah,
and
he kind of got the ultimate happy ending.
He got the happy ending. So
he got a life well lived.
I mean, the idea is he dies the old man at the end of this movie because he got to go back and actually live all of those years.
With Peggy,
which I thought was great. I mean, what a great way for him to go out. Although, as much as I really wanted to see more Cap wheeling Mjolnir, I think that's a great ending for him.
Oh, man. When that happened, like, even Bailey, like, guys, the theater started clapping. That was awesome.
Yeah, the theater went nuts.
I mean, I was like, oh, yeah.
And Bailey started hitting me, which never happens. Usually I'm the one who's, like, slapping her, like, not in a mean way, but like, hey, chum, like, check it out.
that was amazing when he, you know, there was, I think it was actually even better than, arguably, there's a scene shortly thereafter, because I had that thought in the movie where they're getting the snot knocked out of them by Thanos' troops, and I'm like, where are all the rest of the people? Because they did the snap. They brought them back. So where are all the rest of the heroes? Why are they not here?
That's my biggest spoiler, and is when they start to come through.
Yeah, I no sooner had the thought,
and
then here comes the
swirls. And they're all coming through from Wakanda, and then from Tibet, and from everywhere else.
Yep.
One of my favorite moments of the entire movie, and I know it's a dumb little thing, it's not that little, but is when Pepper shows up in her own Iron Woman suit.
Yep.
Because it was like, see, she's not just a random side character. She can kick ass too.
And they foreshadowed that one because you know they showed in one of the early scenes, the little helmet. Yeah, and he said, "Oh, she
mommy never wears anything. I buy her."
Well, Iron Man made her a suit before in one of the previous movies, but she didn't wear it, and so that's why there was the joke. She never wears anything, and then of course this one, she's like, "I'm putting on the suit."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sort of to segue into your part of
the female factor.
The female factor. Bailey also started crying during that battle because, yes, we all get it. Superheroes are very, like, male-driven.
Okay.
But when they started fighting and
here's
it did that,
the thing.
She started crying.
So I made it, like, in the beginning, everything with Clint when he loses his whole family, when Nat died, all of it. I made it through the entire movie without crying until that scene when Captain Marvel comes back and she comes to get the gauntlet from Peter Parker and all of those women are standing there. I had tears dripping off of my chin. And it was that moment of, sorry guys, I'm going to cry. I was that little girl. I was the little girl who I wanted to be the superhero. I wanted the gauntlet on my hand. And I have never in all of my life seen so much power in women standing on the screen. Those women didn't need any men to help them. There were women of every color, every species, and they were standing there and they had this and they took the football and they ran with it. And I feel like that moment on film gave me so much hope. It fulfilled so much of my childhood dreams and it sparked dreams in other little girls to know that, you know what, you can grow up to be the superhero. You can make your life whatever you want. And whatever this movie means to anybody, that 15 seconds on that screen meant more to me than I can say. And we are all three sitting here crying right now, guys. Welcome to the party. It's a comedy podcast.
I'm wishing we had enough people in this room that we could like clap for that. I'm like, we need a round of applause I'll try to bring it back down so we don't all just sit here and bawl during the. But here's what I want to say about that scene with Brie Larson when she's standing there. It's not. For me, it wasn't even just that the scene happened, and I know I'm a guy, so but let me have it. It wasn't just that she was standing there. It wasn't that all of them, but the way she delivered it was so amazing.
Oh yeah,
You know the way she had this smirk on her face almost, and it wasn't like a sarcastic smirk, even though it slightly was. You know, she just had this resolute where it was a confidence.
Yeah,
there was so much confidence there. That everything's good. And the way she just kind of looked at Peter Parker and she, you know, she's like, got something for me, kid? And, you know, she was nonchalant. And you're right. It was so powerful and almost how not powerful she delivered the line. She looked powerful. Yeah. The scene was powerful. Everybody standing there was so powerful. But the line itself wasn't. And I think that added to it because, you know, her character was like, I got this.
And that's the thing with real women in the real world is that we don't stand there wondering if we can do it. There was not a woman on that screen that didn't know that she was about to kick some serious ass and knew that she could with every fiber of her being. It's in the past, there's been this portrayal of, oh, can they do it? Is she going to have a crisis of confidence? The I'm just a girl moment. That wasn't there. That didn't need to be there.
Kind of might be thinking too much into this for me, but I thought it was a cool scene that all the women superheroes joined together to protect a child in this war. Because if you think about it, yes, he can do his own thing, but he's not even 18 technically. The actor is over 18.
I think it had more to do with him having the gauntlet than him being the kid.
It was cool though because they still protected him because he was that close to being wiped out again. And then we're like, oh, losing Spidey.
So I have a confession to make. Until you said it and I thought back, I didn't realize that was all just women.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it. I didn't notice it at first. I'm looking back at all the characters that they said, and I kind of missed that to a certain degree. And I guess I'm really not even ashamed of it.
No, not at all. I'm gonna step up on my soapbox here, but this is not at all directed at you, Rich. That is what we're fighting for, folks.
Yeah.
Is the fact that if you see a screen full of men from left to right that are about to kick somebody's ass, nobody thinks a thing about it. Mm-hmm. Men are so used to seeing that that they expect to see it on the screen. Again, not calling you out, buddy. But there was a screen full of nothing but women. Mm-hmm. And every girl in that theater, I promise you, every woman, girl, every age in between in that theater got goosebumps from head to toe the second they saw that, because they've never seen anything like that before.
Okay, I got to cuss really quick, because Bailey is a feminist, I'll just say it. She's, it's nothing to be ashamed of or anything. Right. She's super stoked about it.
You don't have to explain it, Nick.
And
it's
whenever
okay.
She saw that, I'm going to drop an F-bomb. Because she said it, and I was like, oh, God, she said that really loud. I don't know if she meant to say that. Bailey went, fuck yeah. And yeah. She was so excited.
That's the internal monologue that was going through my head was exactly the same.
And she said it, and I was like, was that my wife or the lady sitting next to her? But no, it was Bailey, because her arms were in the air. Like, she gets really into movies, man. Like, she started rocking back and forth, and I'm like, oh,
it was a great scene. It really was. You know, and it was a movie full of great scenes.
Sorry for dropping an F-bomb.
No, it's all good.
Fucks happen, dude.
Yeah. See, because, you know, I think we've talked about it before, especially on Captain Marvel, because the MCU has been a sausage fest. It really has.
Yeah, Kevin Feige's admitted it.
Yeah, and I think they knew it. I think they just kind of didn't know how to get around it exactly.
They also thought that's what people wanted.
Yeah, here's the problem is that it's life imitating art, imitating life, imitating art. Because, mm-hmm. The comic book industry was obviously very much a sausage fest for many years. It was guys, written by guys, for guys.
Yeah, because they started back in the 40s and 50s and so on.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff there that honestly, you know, we're not proud of. But it's hard to take that source material and mm-hmm. use it and completely shed all of that. I mean, it's the source material. Unless you're just going to completely make up a bunch of whole new superheroes, it's got to be difficult. Now, I'm not saying that they couldn't have done more than they did. I'm saying I can see how that would be a hard place to start, mm-hmm. and you know, move into it, especially with probably everything that they had to work with. Because Scarlett Johansson, I think she actually came a long way, because when she started, she was the eye candy, and they really did a lot with her character to try to develop it and get away from, hey, she's just the eye candy.
Mm-hmm. Pepper Potts came full circle. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think you could see them trying. This is, obviously Captain Marvel is the first time that I think that they really knocked it out of the park. I think this is the idea that it wasn't an accident, that they get it, that, you know, there are plenty of things to do. There are plenty of female that they can use for future movies, that can take leads, that can have prominent roles, that can move the action and the storyline forward. And I think that's what they were doing with the scene. They were showing it. Hey, look, mm-hmm. they're here.
And they figured out that the statement is not to make it a statement. Mm-hmm. Those women mm-hmm. being on the screen was not them making a feminist statement. It was just the story naturally progressing. It not being a statement was the statement.
Yeah.
We're here to stay.
No, it was amazing how they did it. And, you know, this is just one of those other small things that they worked into a movie that had a million things that they had to put in it. Mm-hmm. So this didn't take away from anything. Like I said, I'm going to be honest, I didn't hardly even notice that until you started talking about it. And of course, you know, once again, that's the problem with not having time to decompress so much from the movie. I didn't really have time to think everything through.
Yeah, we usually have more organized thoughts, folks, but right now it's just word vomit.
I do want to hit rewind on the VCR here for just a second.
For you kids, that used to be a video watching machine. Yeah. They didn't used to rewind themselves.
And I'm going to hit play towards 30, 40 minutes into the movie and just start talking about how hilarious Chris Hemsworth is in this movie.
No. First of all, what a nice break must it have been for him to be like, hey, I don't have to hit the gym for this one.
No joke.
Well, and I mean, obviously he is not that out of shape, I think. That was very obviously a fat suit. And I say obviously as in you couldn't tell it. But, you know, you just know that that's not actually that mm-hmm. he didn't gain 100 pounds for this role. I thought it was.
Maybe he's really dedicated to his craft and his beard.
I mean, he's not. I don't know if he's Christian Bale or dedicated, but, you know, it's such a great way to subvert that trope, because, you know, when they show they you can see him kind of shirtless. There are a lot of people like, ooh, Chris Hemsworth is shirtless. And then he turns around and you're like, what the heck happened? And then I, you know, obviously the Big Lebowski comment.
Oh, the Lebowski comment. Great. I died laughing. Reverse shout out to super, super skinny Tony Stark. I like that they went that realistic with it, because sometimes random things like that happen in a movie and you're like, that person would look emaciated if that happened, and it doesn't. And then you're like, oh, well, there's emaciated Tony Stark.
He really did look Rayleigh. They did a good job with him. Mm-hmm. And they did a good job with chubby Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot.
And I like that chubby Thor still brought it, that he wasn't just like magically svelte buff Thor for the battle. He's like, all right, I'm a fat dude, I'm going to bring it.
But he looked like his dad.
He did.
Like a lot. Odin. Yeah, he looked like Odin. As soon as the lightning struck him, like, and he was just standing there waiting for that battle. He's like, he's done nothing. And then like as soon as the lightning strikes him and he has the braid in his beard and the dready like
thingy.
Yeah, he
was still majestic.
He still looked cool, but like.
But he wasn't all ripped out cool. He was.
Yeah.
You know, he was just kind of bigger and not always in a good way. But I just reminded me of the Rene Russo. That she has a scene in it. And
I had totally forgotten that she was in the other ones.
No, she steals it too. I mean, that was one of the best scenes in the whole movie there.
Yeah. And I loved how they went back in time to each.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah. And they were going to like scenes that we had already seen. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just a cool like Back to the Future moment, which I love how they kept throwing that out there.
Yeah, they did. So Back to the Future was bullshit?
Yeah. I mean.
I was also, because like, let me tell you, if it's sci-fi, I've probably seen it. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yep.
No, ultimately, this movie was Back to the Future on steroids.
It really was. They're like, let's take Back to the Future and just. Watch it 8 times in one movie.
Yeah. I mean, it was really good. Like, honestly, really it was better than Back to the Future.
Sporting events.
I mean, I love Back to the Future. One of my favorite movies of all time. I mean, but this was better.
the Tony Stark meeting Howard Stark scene.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That gave me all the feels.
How great was that? We even got the, what's his name? The, was it something Darcy? The guy who plays Jarvis.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. James Darcy, I believe, is the actor's name there. We got
to
see him.
I would not have known that.
We got Peggy Atwell. We got a couple scenes
more than
her.
Once.
Yep, we did. Who else did we get there? You know, one of the few people that you didn't see most of the time was Nick Fury. We just got the one.
Yeah,
at the end.
He just kind of crept in there at the end. Mm-hmm. And Maria, is that her name?
Colby Smulders.
Yeah.
Who plays?
I want to say her character's name is Maria, but I don't remember. I never watched S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm sorry.
That doesn't sound right, but we'll look.
Robin from How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
That's how she'll always be remembered to me. Robin Trubetsky.
We got a lot. I mean, we got a Loki flashback. We got to see Loki again.
Yeah.
Who he's, I guess, still gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and, what's his name? Also still gone. Died on the ship, same time as Loki.
Who else died on the ship?
Avenger. Oh,
In the first Avengers.
You're talking about the Asgardian Heimdall.
Heimdall, thank you.
Yes, Heimdall. I think all of those deaths.
Yeah, I think they're like legit dead.
So like the only deaths that are undone were the ones from the snap.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If they didn't die in the snap, they didn't get to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that would make
makes
world overpopulated.
Because you can't go. Well, and that's the whole point of like. They're ultimately the good guys who want to do good. And if you start going back and undoing deaths, you're not doing good anymore. Things that have happened. Well,
and I like how they subverted it. They didn't subvert it with going down that logical conundrum. They subverted it the opposite way. Because if you undo that, then Tony Stark loses his daughter.
Yes. Yeah. It's the second I saw that little tent before she comes out, I was like, yes. Because I kept wondering, like, what's going to stop them from going further back and further back? And... if you have something that no one will undo, that's the perfect thing. And Morgan was the perfect foil for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because, you know, we obviously saw, Clint Barton. We saw Hawkeye or Ronan, I guess this is the Ronan
Hawkeye
version.
Hawkeye / Ronan.
He loses his whole family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's, statistically speaking, that's going to happen, but it's going to be rare. But then the other side of that coin is you have some people who don't lose anybody. And that's Tony Stark. You know, he gets the happiness. Now he's sad that all of his friends died and so many people, you know, his friends lost all these people, but Pepper's still there. Mm-hmm. They go on and they have a daughter and they're living their happy life as happy as they can. And, you know, there's that opposite end of the spectrum. It's not just everybody lost. And, you know, I think they added something.
I was also super heartbroken. I didn't realize in the initial snap that half of life, not just half of people, so many pets were gone. And that's, irrationally upsetting for me. A little bit more upset about the pets than the people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as a general rule, I like more pets than I do people.
Animals haven't done anything to you people have.
You know, they do kind of hearken to that when Ant-Man's looking out, just before everything gets blown out of hell, when he sees all the birds back and yeah. You know, they kind of have that moment just before, you know, Thanos tries to nuke Earth.
All right, so we've gushed a lot about everything that you guys love about this movie, but we like to pick a best and we like to pick a worst. So let's start with a worst. There has to be one moment in this movie that just fell flat for you. Rich, what is that moment for you?
Okay, I'm actually going to go ahead and throw out a couple because some of them are small. Mm-hmm. And actually, they're all pretty small. I don't have any moment that I'm like...
I don't think anything big happened that anybody was like, oh my God, that sucks.
That was awful. Here is the thing that I am the most disappointed in. There was zero Michael Pena in this movie.
Oh,
zero.
Yeah.
All the people they dug up and they brought back, which was amazing. They didn't give Michael Pena a scene at all. Yeah. Come on. I wanted the first scene of everything before he comes out is him bringing everybody up to speed. Give me like 10 minutes of him bringing the audience up to speed before they actually show the first scene of the movie, and I would have been extraordinarily happy. But there's zero Michael Pena in this movie, and that disappoints me.
Yeah. You know what would have been a funny scene is this is the part that was annoying to me is that... God, what was his name in the movie? I just want to say Ant-Man, and then what was
Scott
it?
Lang.
Scott Lang. There we go. Like, he got brought back by a rat on accident. Like, it'd have been funnier if it was Michael Pena brought him back, found the van. And the best line in the first Ant-Man's when he's like, back it up.
Back it up.
That'd have been funnier. Like,
yeah, but we don't know if he got, maybe he got snapped. I don't know.
That's true. See, we don't know.
I was also a little bit annoyed about that rat thing. I was like, I mean, of all the, I thought that maybe, like, he was going to, like, figure out, like, hack his little arm thing and figure it out himself.
Well, they could even had somebody else figure it out. At some point, somebody said...
Or there was an auction at the storage unit and somebody started pushing buttons after they bought it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not a rat.
Yeah, but is money still, like, that big of a...
I don't know. I have
then?
So many societal questions about the interim 5 years.
They could have even had, like, some kids playing around with it. Like, some kids at the junkyard. And they're like, hey, what do these buttons do?
Right.
So that was, that was a little bit, I got to be honest, this probably is my most controversial one, but I was a little soft on Professor Hulk.
I did not love Professor Hulk as much as I wanted to. I love all things Mark Ruffalo and want to climb him like a mountain. I just want to say that. That being said, I don't love the character as much as I thought I would.
I thought the best scene that he had in the movie was the scene where he got to be just Mark Ruffalo, the scene where...
With Tilda Swinton,
where she kind of knocks him out of his body. And I thought that was better than any of his Professor Hulk scenes. Now, to be fair, I didn't dislike or hate or despise any of the Professor Hulk. But there was a point where I wanted to go ahead and see Hulk smash out again. And we never got that moment.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been okay if they'd have let him still have a Hulk moment. Because it was just a little too much of Bruce Banner. It was like Bruce Banner buff.
Yeah.
And that's really all it was. And so I thought it was a little soft. But it once again
should have been a little crankier.
Yeah, because we got recycled footage of Hulk out.
Yeah, we see Hulk out from the original Avengers.
Uh-huh.
We
Which
get to
cool.
see old Hulk, but you know there should have. I love at least at the end at some point in time he's like, "Screw it, I'm mad." You know, if he's not full hulking out, but give me some carnage, give me something.
Yeah,
he really didn't. So
for me, I think it's not so much a moment that fell flat, but I was very disappointed in the presence of Captain Marvel in this movie in the in-between. I liked her when she was there in the beginning. I liked her when she was back at the end. But I didn't like the... I guess maybe that there was no explanation.
She really wasn't there in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, she was. And, like, yeah, we got the little, like, holo call, and obviously she's off patrolling another galaxy, but I wanted a little more context between A and B.
Well, after Captain Marvel, which is the, you know, immediately preceding movie, we kind of thought she'd have a bigger role.
Yeah.
And she's there, but she really doesn't have a big role until the end where she comes in and, I don't want to say saves the day, but she's an important factor in the battle.
She contributes to saving the day.
Oh, yeah. She
heavily.
Yeah, I mean, there was obviously a lot of people doing a lot of things there, but she really tipped the scale, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The final battle there. But yeah, up until then, we got very little Captain Marvel.
Yeah, no. I'm trying to think of one other thing, because it was something that was sort of a little buggy to me, but I guess it wasn't that important because it totally left me.
I mean, you gave it an A-.
I did give it an A-, but that's because I thought it'd been way more ballsy if they didn't bring everybody back.
I think this film is going to get a lot of flack for all the fan service it delivered. Because, you know, haters are always going to hate. There's always going to be somebody that sees this and then decides, haha, I'm going to get all the clicks and likes because I'm going to be the one that's a dick and says how much it sucks.
Oh, no, I don't think it sucks by any means.
And some people are going to be disappointed that more people didn't die because we thought this was going to be a bloodbath. You know, we're like, who's let's see who makes it out.
That's coming tomorrow night when episode 3 of season 8 of Game of Thrones premieres.
I don't know if my mind can take this weekend.
Any other Starks die this weekend.
I already texted my buddy and I was like, my heart, the Starks.
Yep. Yeah, we lost our first Stark already. It was
yeah, and I didn't get that joke until after I said, yeah, LOL to you on text. Oh. And then I sat there and I was like, oh. Because I was at work and I was in the middle of something and I was just like, oh. It's Friday afternoon. And then he's like, yeah, something, whatever that line is for Starks, whatever it was. And then I was like, yeah. Oh.
He's like, that dork. What the heck is he doing? Oh, wait a minute. That's actually really sad.
But I was talking, because I had actually theorized that Bruce Banner might die, because he's a little bit the heart. Banner is the heart. The Hulk is not. Professor Hulk, I don't know what he is. But anyway, it was interesting how, so there's a price that has that. I have a theory. There's a price you have to pay. Anything, because the world is about balance. If good wins, then a price has to be paid. Not everybody can live. That's why stories where nobody dies completely suck. Like Twilight, where nobody dies. Like, that sucks. Like
Twilight sucked for so many other reasons as well.
So many deeper reasons. I feel like my dog could have written that movie better. Mm-hmm. Or book, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Say, you can call it that, I guess.
Name any two people in this movie, in Avengers Endgame, and I could follow that up with still a better love story than Twilight.
Oh, for sure. But you have to pay a price. And so it was Natasha had become the heart. She's the one that was the glue that was mm-hmm. keeping it together. Mm-hmm. And once I figured out that she had taken over as the heart and the glue, I knew she was going to be the one to die.
Yeah.
It hurt me.
You know, here's my theory on why. If you think about it, because as we mentioned earlier, Iron Man, the first Iron Man movie was kind of where this all kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then we get the second Iron Man movie right after that. So Iron Man is essentially the father of the MCU. Mm-hmm. But the first real female character we get is actually Scarlett Johansson. Mm-hmm. She's the one that they really mm-hmm. first start to develop. So in many ways, she's the first female.
She's
so,
come as full circle.
So they killed off mom and dad here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what they did, if you want to look at it in kind of a meta level. And then, you know, the Captain America who was, I mean, he's Captain America.
I loved the passing of the torch, though.
I was a little surprised. I thought it was going to be Bucky.
See, I didn't, because I feel like he wants, because Bucky's also super old, but not.
Well, and I know I'm biased aged. Because that's how it works in the comics. You know, Bucky becomes Captain America. Mm. So, you know, I think that maybe I'm just biased that way, but I didn't mind it. I was just a little surprised.
I think he was trying to give Bucky a chance to go find his own happily ever after.
Probably.
And not have to hold the mantle of the shield.
So there's that moment where Falcon in the battle where he stabs the guy with his wings.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that is awesome. Because, you know, this is another one of those where this is a human guy. He's Iron Man. He's a human in a suit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has no superpowers. And, you know, you're thinking to yourself, well, how does he compete on this scale? And then you watch that scene there where he's stabbing the guy with the metal wings and you're like, oh, well, that's how he does it. Okay. All right. I get it now.
All right. It's my turn to grade this bad boy.
Dun, 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 dun.
I loved it. I really did. Ugh. I loved it. But I'm actually with Nick on this and I'm going to give it an A-. Now, I'm very stingy with my A's. I am not the teacher that you want.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot to get to an A. So an A minus is a BFD over here. But it was perfect, but it wasn't perfect. There were some things. The Captain Marvel disappearing for the middle. It was a little bit confusing to follow. A little bit, not a lot of it.
Yeah,
with all of the timelines and the different teams and the dueling nebulas and the Thanos coming back. Is it Thanos or Thanos? People say both.
I always pronounce it Thanos, but I don't know if that's definitive.
I like Thanos.
I'm from Arkansas. Don't trust my
dude. I was born in Arkansas too. That's why I'm asking for help here.
I've always considered Thanos the correct way to say it, but I don't know.
Well, we're gonna call it right here.
I don't know. There's an incorrect way.
Conflict's official pronunciation is Thanos. TM. That was a little bit confusing to follow. I will never stop faulting comic book movies for this. There has to be a limit on the comic relief quips. There's a point when it's too much and it's cheap. And this one crossed that line a little bit, not a lot of bit, just a little bit, where it would, there were some moments where it was just like, that was kind of mean. You know, there were a couple comebacks that were a little, and I did not like the moment between Star-Lord and Gamora. It felt cheap.
Which moment? The moment where they meet each other again?
The moment where they meet each other again. And they deserved a little more than just him getting bitch slapped. And
kicked in the nuts.
And kicked in the nuts. And the sisters being like, this is him. Like, that was someone he deeply loves and mm-hmm. someone that has died. And it deserved a little bit better than a quippy little nut shot.
That's fair. There's a few of those scenes. Yeah. Where,
but that's what keeps it at an A-, which is still a very, very high score. Keeps your GPA up, MCU. You're good.
Yeah. And well, so I had an art teacher. Even if you could draw and it's like looking in a mirror, like if you did like a self-portrait, mm-hmm. she would never give you a 100. It was a 99 because there's always an imperfection.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like fair.
I always take the opposite view of it. For me, an A+ isn't necessarily perfection because I don't know that perfection exists.
Yeah.
I
think that's an interesting counterpoint.
I think if
we're perfect in our imperfections.
Yeah. If you don't have those little moments, then it doesn't work. You know, you have those things that aren't quite right or you quite disagree about. And to some degree, I don't disagree with you because, you know, the MCU built themselves off being a little action, a little comedy. And they really
and I love that combo.
Right. They really built up a lot more drama in this one. And I think that's why you're going to see some of that, because this was far more in the drama end than they've ever tried to go. They really waded pretty deep into it this time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes the comedy cheapens it a little bit. I see where, you know, that can be the case. But to me, I look at it and say that's part of what gives it character.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, if there was something that you looked at and said, everything about this movie is absolutely perfect, I would say, you know, you reached the stage of delusion.
Yeah.
I mean, I give it an A+. I still have a few things I could nitpick about, and I could find a few more, and I probably will as I get more time to think about
it. I'm going to need to see this at least 3 times before I have a definitive opinion.
But yeah, probably.
There's a lot happening.
These are just first impressions.
Watch it in segments. You know, but it does. I think it has to have that. So to me, I'm saying an A+ is, this is as good as it's probably likely ever going to get. If you ever hear me say that this movie is perfect, I've lost it or I'm drinking.
Good to know.
which, you know, both of those things are realistic possibilities.
So. You guys don't know it yet, but we are going to experiment in the future with doing one of these totally drunk.
Drunk conflicts?
Yes.
That would have to be with like the worst movie on planet Earth and be like, this
like,
movie rocks.
Like The Room. In my head, it's The Room and we're drunk and it's great.
We'll do a Riff Tracks episode.
Yes. All of the yes.
You know,
I'm a super fun drunk, folks. Fasten your seatbelt.
We should do this like with the next Godzilla movie, maybe. Would that be a good one to hit? Do that one drunk?
No, I'm super stoked about that.
Oh, I am too.
Not only was this movie amazing, but the trailers leading up to this movie were amazing. I can't wait for this year.
All right. Now we're going to get into the weeds here a little bit, but I am going to say something extremely controversial, and even saying this hurts me. It hurts me. I feel physical pain that this thought is in my head, but I know the big one was the first one, and that's the next Star Wars movie. That was the first trailer they had, and I was just... I wanted to be excited.
You
and
were
I couldn't
underwhelmed?
Do it. I couldn't get excited.
Had you not seen the trailer yet?
No, I hadn't. I've been trying to avoid it a little bit.
Really?
Well, I have a bunch of friends that went to Celebration. And so I kind of just, you know, but the truth is, I am still so mad over the last one that I haven't gotten over it. I'm not over it yet. And that one just reminded me. I kept thinking, I'll be over it by the time the next movie comes out. And watching that trailer, I realized I'm not.
Time heals all wounds. Give it
like,
more time.
It's like running into an ex. And thinking you're fine with it, and then realizing that the emotion is still there.
You're
not over, and I wasn't. I'm not over it.
But hey, folks, if you like the sounds of this conversation about Star Wars, write to us at conflictspod@gmail.com and tell us you want us to do all the Star Wars movies on this podcast. And guess what? We'll do it.
We will. I mean, we will.
That's conflictspod@gmail.com.
Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum. I feel like there should be a jingle there. I mean,
I'm preparing for when we have sponsors.
Yes.
And promo code conflicts.
Yes. If you would love to sponsor us, you can also write us at conflictspod@gmail.com.
Do you sell used underwears? Nothing is too cheap for us.
Well, that took a turn. There's the twist ending right there. That's what that is.
There's, like really? I said, folks, we literally just left this theater. There's a lot of emotions coursing through us. Our words might not be as clear as you would like. Just ride with us.
So I'll give you one more thought, and I'm going to turn it over to Nick just a little bit. So we have Alamo Draft House here where we're at, and that's where we went and saw this. And I love Draft House. I love, love, love the Draft House.
If you're not aware, it's a theater that has food and booze, and they bring you food to a little table while you eat in a comfy seat.
One of my favorite things about the Draft House is you buy your seat. You don't just buy a ticket, you know, so we knew exactly what our seat was when we bought it, and you can just go straight to your seat. You just sit down. I always love that about it, except there's a part of me that misses the excitement of the waiting in line and the buildup of the Blockbuster.
All day long to get the good seats.
Yeah, you know, there was something about that that was special, and I've always been just slightly disappointed, as much as I love the Draft House, that I missed that to a certain degree.
Yeah.
This was the closest I've ever gotten to being that excited about a movie, because the buildup was so big. Even though we didn't have to wait in line, there was so much texting back and forth, all the people who saw with us, everybody's so excited, there's all this, and it got me a little bit back to where that used to be.
Yeah, because it was a camaraderie.
You know, the last movie that I did that to was actually a superhero movie. It was The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, nice.
And my brother drove up from Little Rock to see that with me at the IMAX. And I went to work. But before I went to work, I dropped him off at the movie theater.
So that would have been like 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. I gave him lunch.
Nice.
He sat there from 8 a.m. I got off work, brought him dinner. We were the first in line, people. Like, this is great.
Nick, don't mess around when it comes to Batman.
No. And we left that movie theater at 3:30 in the morning. He almost spent 24 hours at that movie theater.
That's dedication.
And I sat there with them from 5:30 until midnight when it started. That, I mean, so I know what you mean by that. Like, there used to be like an art to going to see a movie.
Yeah, it was this total camaraderie of being there.
We used to schedule it. We would have people who are going to hold place in line during certain times and do shifts. I mean, we had it down. So, you know, there's a certain part of me that misses it, and then there's a certain part of me that doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, like, I remember people camping out, like, going back to Twilight. This is twice in this
oh,
podcast.
Oh, dear God.
So,
we promise it'll never happen again.
The last Twilight movie that was out, there's people.
Did you go stand in line all day?
No,
buddy?
No, no, but there was Wreck-It Ralph came out, and I was like,
oh, nice.
I'm totally going to go watch Wreck-It Ralph. Duh,
oh, yeah.
I've
right
still never
alley.
Seen that movie.
Oh,
it's
man.
A great movie.
And we were going into the theater, and there's people in tents sleeping
in
front of the theater. And I went, woohoo, team vampire, can't think of his name right now because I'm making fun of it.
Edward.
Yes, team Edward. And then I was like, like kind of making fun of him because I'm a Harry Potter fan. And then I'll be damned if I didn't know the person in the very first tent. And I was like, son of a.
If I would know this person when it's done, I'd like for you to tell me who it was.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Things are running through my head. I'm like,
we
I
could,
wonder.
We could probably do a Twilight bashing episode. You know,
that'd
be, the,
be
that'd be the drunk one.
That would be,
that'd
be
the drunk one. I could watch that one drunk.
That might be too boring.
It's a thought. I think we've kind of gushed long enough about Endgame, and we're just going to start repeating ourselves. So, you know, go see the movie. You'll love it. I think you're going to love it. We all loved it, which is weird because we're not supposed to. That's not the point of the podcast.
Yeah.
But
I know. Well, you know what?
But here we are.
Miracles happen.
This is a total of 22 movies, and I am going to say I've seen every single one of them in theaters.
Yeah.
So too. That's a lot of time and money and dedication.
There was a lot
for
invested
a final.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they took that seriously, and they gave you what you wanted.
They did.
I think they did. I think this was solid. And
I've even been to the damn theme park. At Universal Studios, they have a Marvel section.
They do. They do. Yeah, the Hulk ride, by the way, is the best.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Agreed.
Roller coaster built by Bulgar and Mabillard is one of the best roller coaster manufacturers in the country. It's weird that I know that, but
the
thank
more
you
know.
For that tidbit. No, that's awesome.
They,
thank you.
That's years working at an amusement park, folks.
Yeah, I worked in that industry for a long time, but they do build the best coasters, and that's the one. So, like I said, go see Endgame. Hopefully you will love it as much as we did, and hopefully we're going to see what the next phase of the MCU is like here before long.
Yeah. Well,
this is the end of our game.
Cut, print, that's a wrap.